Content warning, y'all. We have lots of fun making this podcast, but remember, we watch a lot of R-rated films, use language that reflects that, and joke about heavy topics to create levity around these themes. If that doesn't feel safe or could be triggering, please take care of yourself. We want you to have fun listening too. This also means we might not be suitable for children. Oh yeah, and we spoil the end of all the movies we pod about. Thanks for listening.
Boop, boop, beep, beep, boop.
Pop it up, pop up, pop.
Bob-a-doo. Holler.
Hey, you're listening to Z and Keith Watched a Movie, a podcast about
the
films
coast.
From the 80s and 90s that we both saw and didn't see and want to rewatch and both watch at the same time. For the first time, at the same time.
In the same room.
In the same room as each other.
Wearing the same clothes.
And that's what this podcast was made for.
There you go. Now, thank you. Now we don't have to record our season 4 intro.
House of Yes.
Get at us on Patreon.
Patreon.com/ZandKPod.
You love to hear us talk about it.
I know, yeah. You're like, can you tell me one more time what the URL is for the Patreon? There you go. I mostly now I'm like, man, this Patreon is so much better than my personal Patreon.
Oh, pizza. Good.
Personal pan Patreon pizza.
Yep.
We got lots of shit for you, honestly. If you enjoy this at all, we have so much more of this going on.
And honestly,
past the paywall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, yeah.
Truth be told?
Truth be told?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Truth be told? Seriously.
Okay, House of Yes?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
1998,
I believe.
Oh, I thought it was 7.
Oh, man. Fuck. Girl. I'll check, but I think it's 98. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Son of a cocking.
Let's see. Oh, you're right. It's 97. I thought it was 98. I probably put 98 on all the things. It's fine, though.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's... I like this movie. It actually holds up better than I thought it would. I was a little bit nervous that I was going to watch it and be like, oh man, this is painful. Uh-huh. And clearly I was having a ball while watching it. I laughed so fucking much. It's because I fucking love Parker Posey. She just has, when they come in and he's like, this is my fiance. And she's like, ah!
Leslie, this is Jackie O.
Hi.
My mother, Anthony. Meet Leslie. Leslie and I are engaged.
I have to buy my hairbrush.
Yeah, it's a...
Oh, yeah. Mark Waters directed and is credited with the screen adaptation of the stage play... written by Wendy McLeod. The trivia says, someone in the IMDb trivia says, based on the Fall of House of Usher.
Mm-hmm.
Citations needed, bro.
Okay.
Because
it's IMDb trivia, and it just says things like, this is the same house that was on The Office, and they don't check to see if that's actually true.
Thank you. McLeod stated that The House of Yes is about, quote, people who have never been said no to, end quote, and that she wished to depict, quote, insularity I see in the upper classes, people who have cut themselves off from the rest of the world and are living by rules they've invented.
Oh, wow.
The play was inspired by a house MacLeod saw in a wealthy suburb of Washington, D.C. While its title came from a piece of bathroom graffiti MacLeod had seen that read, "We are living in a house of yes." Huh. The subtitle, A Suburban Jacobean Play, was inspired by the Jacobean drama, "'Tis Pity She's a Whore," which similarly focused on, spoilers, incestuous relationship between a brother and sister. It opened in April 1990 in San Francisco.
Nice. Yeah, it's very, it's, I didn't remember it accurately. I thought that, I didn't remember that Tori Spelling actually finds out about the incest. Uh-huh. I didn't remember that. I didn't remember that they're just like, oh yeah, remember when we were like fucking? Like they're
yeah, so, it's yeah. pretty explicit.
Yeah. I didn't remember that, but I'm like, oh, this is why I liked it, because it's not like, it's just talking about it. It's fucking weird. That's why I liked it. The way that they behave, yeah. the way that they act is weird.
Well, and it's not, the whole thing isn't hung upon this dark secret.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but it's right. like yeah. not hung on the reveal and correct. Shame.
Yes.
I mean, it's definitely complicated, and of course, sure. there's shame involved, but it's not like.
It's not the way you would expect.
It's. That's given away, like, pretty soon.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Oh, I keep wanting to look at the runtime because I felt like it flew by.
I know.
The pace of it is so good.
It is. And, yeah, seriously. I was like. Because we were, like, getting close to the end, and I was like.
It's an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah, it's so fast. I mean, and we were getting close to the end, and I was like. This feels like it's only been on for like 45 minutes.
Yeah. It's so tight. Most. It's so tight.
Yeah. And this is what I was saying. Like, this is one of those things where like it's in like one location essentially. Mm-hmm. Like they're in a house for the entire fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Like there's like a couple of like flashes to like other places, oh, yeah. like, you know, but like it's the set is like one house and that's it. And it's just like in that house. And even a lot of the flashback scenes that they have are in that house too.
Right.
Like, so like 98% of the film happens in that house, like within the house.
Yep.
So shit like that is like super, super interesting to me where it's like so tight, like everything, like it's not just like, piece together really tight. It's also like they don't go anywhere and it still holds your attention and it's essentially just dialogue happening. There's not right. a lot of action, but they're still able to like captivate you. And this is something I think this movie is really where I sort of like fell in love with Parker Posey
mm-hmm.
because she just commits so hard to this character and like you believe this character so much.
She's
you know?
Perfect. It's like, I'm serious.
Okay, I thought
it's yeah. the most.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a quote of a review from, you know, at the time of its release that was like, probably the role she's
yeah.
most perfectly suited to play.
Yeah, and seriously. And yeah, it's like.
It's like not too much.
Correct.
Right? You know?
Right.
You she's can tell. I mean, if you've seen her in other things, you can see that it's, she's making choices.
Yes, correct. And also, like, there's so many people who would play this as, like, so overly dramatic or right. so, and she's, like, the scene where she's, like, freaking out.
Yeah.
And she's, like, running around, and they're, like, get her medication.
Jackie! Colder. Colder, 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 colder! Anthony, get your sister her medication.
You know where it is.
No, Anthony. Don't bother. I'm fine. Really. I just got turned around for a second there. Everything's going to be okay. I know that. Silly me. I just haven't had my coffee yet. I haven't even gone to the bathroom. Mama, will you make us some coffee?
Of course, of course.
I'm fine.
You know, it's so like, I'm like, so many people would play that, would choose to play that suspiciously. And she doesn't. She plays it convincingly. She's like, I'm actually fine. No, everything's fine. Yep. And you know it's not. You know she's not, just because you've understood the character up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't choose to play it in such a way that's like, I'm actually fine. No, nothing needs to go. You know, like, she's not doing something where you're like, what's she up to? You know she's up to something, because that's literally the character. She literally, her whole motive is like, you know, to be up to something at all times, you know? And it also, I feel like she's playing someone who, I mean, it's interesting because it is sort of like expose sort of on like upper class, like the differences and sort of the, you know, shittiness, but also like the seediness and like, anyway, whatever, like the, just the like the class disparity. There's like such a class disparity, but, it's also not played like an evil woman or like a crazy woman. She's an actual fucking character.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
And she, like,
and interestingly enough, I was thinking about this, that I feel like, Marty is the weakest character. He has the least development, really.
Right. Yeah.
Even, what's his name? Freddie Prinze Jr.'s character
is more entertaining. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely.
It holds up to me. I think Marty's hot. I still think he's super hot. I don't know what it is. There's something about his weird teeth and like the way he says stuff. He has a little lisp or something, and he just has like,
he's got his eyes are too close together.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that throws me off about
him.
He
looks dumb and easily manipulated. Oh, and
I said this when we were watching, he looked dumb. I want to fuck the dumb out of him.
He looks
so that he's smart.
Yeah.
I said this when we were watching that, like, you could see that, or I thought he's like someone that could have probably been like, if he'd taken a sitcom job, that would have been, yes, the rest of his career, you know? Yeah.
I was actually looking at, this is the kind of stuff that I saw him. This is what I know him from. I know him from like The House of Yes. And he was in like,
Joshua Hamilton, by the way.
Josh Hamilton. And he was in like a lot of like indie movies, you know? And I was like obsessed with indie movies, like specifically from like the mid 90s, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, I grew a fondness for him for whatever reason. And I was just like, in my dumb little brain, because like I'm not good at like following like modern TV and film, unless Martin Donovan's in it. I was like, oh, I wish he was, and you know, too bad he's not in anything. And I was like looking at his IMDb, and I was like he's in the fucking Walking Dead. He's in like, I'm like, never mind. he's just been acting away this whole time. He's been in so much TV, and I'm like, he's doing fine, I guess. But I just don't fucking know shit.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't been on Walking Dead at this point?
That's fair. That is fair. It's just, I can't give a shit about that show. I just truly can't.
I really tried for.
Yeah, I watched the first season and it stressed me out so much that I was like, I'm not going to watch the second. I'm like, I don't really want to keep watching it. I kept having nightmares and shit. And I don't, that TV doesn't do that to me.
Right.
You know, like scary movies.
This is basically why I stopped watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't feel good.
Yeah, same. Honestly, I stopped watching it because I was like, I don't understand. Because I binged the first season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've said this before. I don't care. I'll say it as many times as it takes. I binged the first season and I watched it because I was like, oh, this show's supposed to have dragons. And it's not.
I thought we were talking about Walking Dead.
No. And I binged the first season of Game of Thrones. And I was like, this show's, and like, you know, me and my girlfriend at the time, we were watching it. We were we were watching it over Skype together. And we were both like, where's the dragons? Like, we kept being like, okay, dragons. Like, you know, we need dragons. Mm-hmm. And it's not until literally, like, the last scene of the last episode of the season that you see 3 seconds at most of dragons. They hatch, like the eggs hatch, right, or whatever. And I was like, that was so much work just to get to dragons. And there's so much sexual assault in that show, yes, you know? And so you're like, okay, whatever. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. So season 2 came on and we were living together at that point because lesbians do that. And and we were watching it week to week. Yeah, and when no, I tell I, you, right. when I tell you, I, for, like, literally 1 week would go by and I'd be like, I literally don't know who any of these people correct. Are supposed to be. They'd be like, Lannister and Cupcake and...
Yep, Cupcake.
And... And Sandstorm and like, I'm like, I don't know who any of these people, you know, like, it's just like their names were so close together in my head. I mean, that, and I'm just not good with names, which I hadn't come to terms with at the time. I was just like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to.
No, I mean, like, just within one house, like, I mean, it's very Tolkien in this way.
Yeah.
Arwen, Aragorn.
Yes.
Arrowhorn. Whatever.
I'm like, oh, please.
But like Tyrell Lannister.
Yeah.
Tyrion Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off.
I know. I'm like, what? Who? Like, it's Lannister, Lancaster, Lanchester. And I'm like, who?
Lancashire.
I don't know. It's the only, Lannister is the only name I can think of.
Stark.
Stark. Yeah, that's true. And those are so similar, Lannister and Stark. No, but they'd be like,
and
they'd all like talk
Targaryen.
I just couldn't. I was like, I don't know.
Which sounds like an Armenian name.
And
Targaryen.
Like I could not like retain anything, and so
we stopped
watching it. Mostly, I mean, like we stopped watching it because we were like, yeah, there's so much sexual assault.
There was so much sexual assault. That's the only
thing that can be retained week to week, and it's not worth it. And then when she was dumping me, she was like, "You're the one that didn't want to watch Game of Thrones."
You're repeatedly punished for caring about the characters.
Yeah,
that was the thing. I was like, well, "Why? No, I'm not gonna."
Yeah,
you're making me.
Yeah.
Not want to care.
Yeah.
To protect myself. That's not some, that doesn't make me want to get invested.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get, it's like, oh, so-and-so had a bastard child with this serving wench. And, you know, that kid grew up in exile.
Yeah.
And now fucked a witch who, and now their kid has a claim to the throne. You know, like. I believe that that's realistic to Western European...
Especially witches.
Royalty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Claims to kingdoms and whatever, but like, I can't...
You know what's too far, though? Having people of color in the show. Like, just, that's just unbelievable.
Oh, well, clearly. That's why...
Dragons, okay.
That's why
but people of
House
color.
Of yeah. Dragons or whatever is failing. Yeah. Because that one dude with blonde dreads...
Fucking Christ. That's another reason why I don't enjoy fantasy, because they're like, we're showing a time before people of color existed, and you're like,
yeah.
Wait, what? we're showing a land where trees talk and mountains have eyes and people of color are just orcs. You're like, ah!
Well, I mean, I forget which film it is, but you got the Arabs on the backs of elephants in the Lord of the Rings movies. They're the bad guys. Some evil. You remember?
I don't remember. I don't remember, no. But this is the thing where fantasy just like.
I'll take this opportunity to recommend the Navarion series of books by Samuel R. Delaney, which are quote unquote fantasy because they're set at a time earlier in human history.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, he plays with the tropes of the genre. So mm-hmm. like there's dragons, but they suck.
Nice.
Nice. Like they can barely fly and they're
nice.
Like a pain in the ass. And it's only in like one book, but
yeah. Well, like, I don't, it's, we were talking about this yesterday. I thought I liked fantasy, but I really just liked 80s films.
Films, yeah, totally.
That depicted fantasy. Well, and I don't know. But I also was always unhappy with it because they never fucked the bad guy. They never got with the bad guy. They would always kill the bad guy and then and I'm like, this feels untrue to how I would choose to live my life. They make the bad guy super hot and super you know, queer coded.
Right.
And then they dress the girl up, they kidnap her from boring ass reality and then bring her to a land where they dress her up like a fucking fairy princess and they lavish her with jewels and everything she wants. And then the evil, horrible monster with a horse cock or whatever is like, I'm going to make you my princess and we'll rule the world together. And she's like, why would I want that? I'm in love with a 15-year-old with an acne problem who can barely read. And then he comes into the, you know, fantasy world and he's like, let's go back to reality and finish high school. And I'm like, no!
I don't know what movie this is.
I'm making it up. That's what movie it is. Great. I'm just merging everything, you know. Perfect.
We should do it. tell me if you relate to this.
Fellas.
This ever happened to you? You know, identifying with feeling like a nerd growing up.
Yes.
Right? But
100%.
I know my upbringing wasn't as pure as yours.
Pure, yeah.
But one reason I never got into comics is because they cost money.
Yes, seriously.
I had toys, you know?
Yeah.
And I had lucky shit like that.
Yeah, braggart. Right.
I am. Humble brag. Not so humble. But, you know, and eventually I had an Atari and shit.
Right.
But I wasn't a huge reader. I mean, I did read.
Holler. Yeah, same.
And clearly that's just, I'm barely literate now. I can't.
I write more than I read, if I'm honest.
But I remember getting to my late 20s, early 30s or whatever, and being oh, I have this whole sort of internal narrative about myself. I've never actually read much science fiction. So I started reading.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
And fantasy and sci-fi are often lumped together or used to be right?
For sure,
nerd fodder.
Correct.
You know, D&D, throw some D&D, Tolkien, whatever. But yeah, and then I tried to get into fantasy. I don't think I read anything outside of those Delaney books, but trying to watch the movies and I'm like, yeah, no, this is just fucking boring.
Yeah, I think
I have no desire to watch anything that's dependent on a hierarchy, a monarchy.
Upholding the monarchy, especially.
Or romanticizing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not romantic to me. That's horrible.
Also, I struggle with, and I agree with you and I want to come back to what you're saying, but I struggle with the fantasy of before people took baths. And I know. And they're like, we've been riding horses for 5 days and now we're eating each other out. And you're like, you don't, no. You didn't know how to wipe back then.
Yeah.
So I just can't, I can't let that part.
It's weird that lifespans were 30 was old.
Right. Not just that, but I'm like, I can't sexualize people. I just imagine, I'm like,
oh, that
you
is
stink.
That is a fatal flaw.
Yeah, you stink. You smell bad. There's no, they'll be they'll take their knight helmet off and it's the reveal of a sweaty guy. And I'm like, oh, he smells bad. And they'll be he's so hot. And I'm like, but he smells like someone's dead foot. Please understand. And I just can't get past the fact that once I found out.
Well, that's what it was. It was the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah.
I'm watching all those and I'm like, eh.
Once
and at the same time, they were the fucking, the Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe movies were coming out.
Yeah. Oh, same.
Those were.
Literally the same. Yeah.
The first one. Okay. But
I watched the first one and then I was like, I don't care.
Yep. anyway, sorry.
Once I found out that people used to rub herbs all over their bodies so to like help covered with smell. The stink, I was like 11, 12 at the time, something like that. And, you know, I was learning that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm like, you didn't just take a bath?
Well,
and
people didn't have access necessarily.
I know. That's but fine. Also, I'm just saying, like, once I found that out, I was like, that's all I could think of is that you stunk clearly. So bad that you had to rub shit on your fucking cooter.
For me, it was learning that, like, the richest of the rich, like, nobility, royals or whatever, just carried around shit under their nose. They would just hold shit under their nose to not smell other people.
And also, they would just, like, shit somewhere.
Yeah.
I can't remember what movie it is. It's some movie where someone...
The Descent.
Where someone's just like goes off in a corner and is just like they're like dressed like maybe I'm imagining this, but I swear to God, there's a movie I don't remember what it is where someone's like dressed like royalty and they just like walk over into the corner and they just like shit, and then they are like, okay, well the help can clean it up, you know. And I'm like, yeah, that's and I'm like that's exactly that's all I think of.
And actually, one of the things that Moats did was be a toilet because like in some castles, you would just hang your ass out a window basically. No, I'm not joking.
At first, I thought you were talking about the band, the local band, Moats. And I was like, what did they do? They had a performance where they shit in the corner.
Okay. Time for an ad.
Okay, but I want to go back to what you were saying. This is an issue that I had... like also where I never felt like I was nerdy enough.
Yes.
Like I just felt like I was, cause I identified so much with nerd culture in the sense of like only being interested in things that like other people around me weren't interested in and like,
or specifically having no interest in the things that everybody else seemed to.
Yes, correct. Like I didn't care about boys.
Right.
I mean I did, but like only the ones from movies. Like I didn't give a shit about like they'd be like, oh, so and so thinks you're cute, and I'd be like, fuck, shit, you know. And like I didn't want to have a boyfriend, and everyone thought that was weird. I was like, why would I want a boyfriend? Like that's so fucking, I'm a child, like you know, I'm 15, I don't want a boyfriend, I want to make out with every person I meet. And everyone would be like, yeah, so get a boyfriend. And I'm like, be beholden.
What?
I don't want to be beholden.
Oh.
So.
No gods, no masters.
Yeah, exactly. No cocks, no henhouse.
Shoes, no service.
So, yeah, but it was like, I think something that really, this was like a thing that I struggled with. I took it more in, like, I was like, oh, it's because. There's a certain, like, you know, at the time I was, you know, I was a girl at the time. So I was like, oh, girls are supposed to have a specific, like, you know, I felt like there was a promise sort of that if you were a hot girl and you said, I like anything nerdy, that people would say, oh my God, I've been waiting
this
for
you. This
is
the perfect woman.
And in reality, what happens is you say, I too like something nerdy. And they say, prove it. And
correct,
you're like, what? And then you tell them something and then they get mad at you. And this would happen. And it wasn't just, I'm not saying it was just because I was attractive or because I was attractive. But I realized it was because I was perceived female. Like I was, you know, I'm not saying that I was like above, you know, like being like, oh, I think this is cool because someone else did. But like, I only did that about things I actually thought were cool. Like I remember one time I don't like root beer. I think root beer's gross. And my friends were like, oh, like let's get root beer. And I was like, no, I hate root beer. And they were like, so-and-so likes root beer. And I was like, cool. I don't. And they were like, but he likes it. And if he, you know, if you get root beer, because we were talking about like the drink to buy for like the week, hanging out for the weekend or whatever. Well, okay. And I was like, I don't like root beer. I don't want to drink root beer. I'm not going to drink root beer. And they were like, but he likes it. And I'm like, I don't understand this. I'm not going to pretend to like root beer for someone. So it was like, I wasn't right. pretend. I wouldn't pretend to like things, but like, I would like, I really hated boy band shit, you know? I really hated it. I'm still like, I, you know, like I'll sing along to Backstreet Boys for nostalgia reasons, but I didn't have any albums and, you know, yeah. I didn't, you know, people be like, do you like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC? And I would say Metallica and they'd be like, oh, but when I would say that to like a guy I thought was cute, he was like, I remember this one time.
Name three albums.
Yeah. He was like, name a song by Metallica. And I was like, Enter the Sandman. And he's like, name another one. And I was like, I don't know. Masters of Horror. I don't remember any, you know.
Masters.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, he's like, oh, I don't believe you. And I was like, why am I going to, I don't understand why I would lie about it. I'm like, why am I going to lie about what music I like? Also, I didn't say, you know, like, you weren't like offering how much you love Metallica. I right. said I liked Metallica. Like what? And it was just like shit that was like weird like that, where I was like, you have to prove that you like it. And so I realized that like I didn't have like a fucking, you know, I had just like a cursory knowledge of things. I wasn't an expert in all things sci-fi and all right. things. Like I didn't know I couldn't name like the first Metallica, like, oh, I wouldn't be able to tell you the year, you know, the first Metallica album came out and like what right. number one hit they had or whatever the fuck, like mm-hmm. what number it was on the charts. I wouldn't be able to tell you that because I didn't give a shit.
Here's the one is the answer to all of them.
And
not Bears in jail.
Oh, please, God, help me.
What the fuck you need help for?
Girl, that's the next line to that fucking song. Oh, please, God. You're fucking claiming like Metallica,
out.
You
called
stupid
out.
Fucking faking oh, bitch.
Shit. Here's my card. Tear it anyway, up. Here's my badge and my gun.
I realized that, like, you know, and like being like, oh, I'm going to read Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, I Ooh. Fucking hate this. You know, like I read them. I read the Lord of the Rings. I read the Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
I read Lord. I think the Hobbit is more
okay,
palatable.
But did you read the Silmarillion?
Fucking hell no. And I realized like, oh, I don't give a shit about this stuff. I don't care, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, so then I was like, am I not a nerd?
Right.
Am I really a hot girl?
Right.
And then when I, you know, this is a thing, you know, I talked about that I probably need to deal with in therapy. I was like, oh, I don't have a place anywhere. Like, I don't, yeah. like, I'm not nerdy enough to
not
be
nerdy
nerd.
Enough, not normal enough.
Yeah,
not.
I'm, but if I'm around normal people or whatever, yep. and I start talking, they're like, you're a nerd. And I'm like, I really am not. Like, I'm trying to be. And they just, like, tell me that I just, like, I'm not nerdy enough to be a nerd. And, like, I don't have any, like, you know, like weird nerd friends that just want to do nerd things. It's all guys that want to have sex with me that I think smell weird. And also I just like some mainstream stuff too, you know. Right. I don't know. It's yeah, so I think okay, not to do the thing, but I think that's why I sort of enjoy, oh God, I feel like I'm doing the like,
oh boy,
bring it back around to what we're really talking about. But truthfully, it's, I think it's something why I connected with House of Yes, because okay. like, she's like obsessed with, she's not just obsessed with Jackie O. She's obsessed with reenacting his, like
the assassination,
his assassination yeah. with her brother,
right?
Who she fucks.
Right.
And I'm like, I connect more with that sort of being like, cause I used to, just for you reader, I used to act out like my favorite scenes from movies. Like I used to try to like mimic them exactly.
Could you do that more into the mic, please? Thank you.
I used to, watched The Last of the Mohicans, and spoiler for The Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
At the end, one of the characters jumps off a cliff, and I used to put the movie on, and when that scene would come on, I would act it out by jumping off the back of the couch. And this was not something that I would do at like 5. Like, I would do this as like 11, 12 years old. Like, I was like, this, it was like my favorite scene in the movie. Yes, a 15-year-old girl killing herself because she had to marry Wes Studi. Hashtag racism.
Absolutely.
Yeah. At the time, it made sense to me, but now I'm like, girl, you could have had it all. Just because he killed
her. I don't understand why white women vote against her interest.
Anyway, yeah. So, like, I used to act out, you know, movie death scenes and shit like that. So, like, it made sense to me.
Didn't you also do, what'd you tell me recently? It was,
Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, Jabba, yeah.
So, I don't remember that one as much. I do remember that I would, like, act it out. But, like, I would tell my siblings how they needed to act with me, and they hated it so much. They hated playing along with me because they'd be like,
"You're a real Aaron Sorkin, huh?"
No, but seriously, I swear to God, anytime I read about like how autistic children play, I'm like, "Oh fuck,
son of a bitch!"
Yeah, they are very much like, you know, scripted. Like, you have to play like this. Like, you can't go off book.
No deviations.
You can't do the thing where you guys book. Yeah, you no, let's not do improv here. That's not what this is about. Really, it was when I realized that I organized my toys instead of actually playing with them. And I was like, yes, I want to color code all my all my color pencils. That's the activity I choose. And I would do it, anyway, whatever. I don't need to go into that. But yeah, I would reenact Return of the Jedi. And instead of Princess Leia killing Jabba the Hutt, what would happen is she would kill Han and Luke, and she would run away with Jabba the Hutt.
Fuck yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, I thought it was super fucking hot.
Did she have a three-way with Jabba and the monster in the pit?
No. No, I thought it was super hot that, like, whenever, like, I would get, like, the little funny feeling in my no-nos when...
In your butterflies?
In my butterflies. In my chocolate.
Chocolate, yeah.
When... Because she was, like, in the bikini.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't know what it was. I mean, I do. But Jabba had her... like her neck chained up, and he would pull her chain, and she would like throw back, and then she would like lay on his soft fat body, and it looked so comfortable, and she'd be like, oh, and I was like, oh, this looks like fun. I thought it was super hot. Like, I thought it was so fucking hot. I didn't have the words for it. So I was just like, I think I like Jabba the Hutt better than anyone else. But it was just cause I liked seeing Princess. Anyway, House of Yes. Why are you looking at me like you're my therapist?
How does that make you feel?
So you talk.
I'm listening.
You talk some.
Well, yeah. I'll. I don't. You know, I paused a couple times in the beginning because we were eating dinner and I was going back for. And forth, but after that, I don't think I got up.
Yeah,
which is unusual for me. Usually, correct. I have to piss or something.
Correct.
Or,
I do think you did get up to pee. I did ask you to pause one time so I could pee because I.
Oh yeah. Okay. Alcoholic anyway, beer. You kept asking how I was doing because I was being quiet. I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Correct. Which is also unusual for me.
100%.
I was just compelled.
I will say it wasn't just that you were being quiet. It's that you cuddled up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like.
This is weird.
Yeah. You're not talking. You're being really quiet. Both of those things. Even your butt was quiet. And you're cuddled up to me. And I was like, everything okay? I honestly was worried that...
Fellas. Ever happened to you? Your man says, oh, you don't touch me enough. Your butt's too loud. And then when you finally quiet your butt down and give some affection, he's like, are you okay? Jesus. Speaking of my quiet butt, do you hear my stomach going
I don't
nuts?
Hear shit.
Okay, good.
I was worried because the film does touch on incest and mental illness that you would be worried about me.
Oh, no. I felt like it was you showing me your journal. Just I'm totally kidding. I wasn't, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, it was clear that you were having a fun time, so.
Okay.
I wasn't worried about you at all.
I know that now, but I'm saying, like, you're being quiet, and I was worried that you were, like, because sometimes you'll find things that that I feel like would logically be more upsetting to me. You find them vastly more upsetting than I do. Like, there'll be, like, a movie, right. And there'll be, like, a scene where something's happening, and I'm like, that's kind of hot, and you're like, that's really upsetting, and I'm like, that's what I said. I didn't say that was hot.
No, truth be told, I did find it kind of hot.
Yeah, right? Right? Yeah.
Because
they're both so willing. The fucking the reenactment scene where he's like, you know, she,
I'll be him.
Do you still remember that day?
The day of the party?
The day he was shot.
Everybody remembers that day. Exactly what they were doing.
The radio was on.
The TV was on.
Mama was crying and Daddy was crying.
And Daddy was leaving.
Finally leaving.
She covered him with her body. She tried to keep him there.
She tried to keep his head on, but it was falling off.
You'd be him.
Yes.
And I'll be her.
I'm him.
And I'm her.
Where she shoots him and then she like, I'm like, oh girl. Then she just hops on his dick.
Spoiler. Yep. In the Wikipedia article, it says that it is assumed that this movie was entirely bankrolled by Aaron Spelling.
Amazing.
And that's how it got made.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And honestly, I mean, at the time I thought it was, I mean, you know, before I watched it, I remember, because I said, like, you know, Tori Spelling is in it. I'm like, but it's actually surprising how well she fits in with it. I mean, I think she's...
Especially the role she's doing.
Correct. I think she's, I don't think she's, you know, a stage-trained actor, and right. She pushes it a little too hard sometimes. However...
Once she got so much... I feel like she got shit on...
Exactly. And I feel like this is, like, the... Like, I think this is, like, a really cool... I don't know. Like, I... You know, when I saw that... Because even as a teenager, when I first saw this, I was like, Tori Spelling. And then when I saw her in this, I was like, oh, she's fine.
She's fine. She's pretty good.
What? And I think she fits so well in it. And even though it's like not the same dynamic, it's such her being so different, like coming from such a different background right. than everyone else in the movie. Like everyone else is right. like stage acting and like, you know, independent films. And she literally comes from like money and like, TV. And she's playing the odd one out. Brilliant. That's so brilliant. Everyone's like looking at her like,
I love how hard Jackie goes on Pennsylvania.
Oh my
Once
God.
That's revealed, it's like the only thing she says from them.
The fucking scene where she's like, oh god, this is the beginning of when she's just talking to her, and oh god, oh, it's so good.
Do they have paintings in Pennsylvania?
Jackie.
Tell me, Leslie, have you ever been to Washington before?
No.
Not even on a field trip? Not even on a fifth grade field trip?
No, I mean my class went, but I didn't go.
In fifth grade, really?
Sixth grade.
So you just snubbed it? You just snubbed your nation's capital?
My parents wouldn't let me go.
What's their number?
What do you mean?
How could they have ruined a perfectly good field trip? Really, people like that burn me up. Don't they burn you up, Marty?
They didn't have the money.
What a lie. How much could it have cost?
Too much.
Were you poor? Did you eat chicken pot pies?
Pancakes. A lot of pancakes.
Pancakes. Pancakes, Marty. So how did you pull yourself out? Out of poverty, I mean.
I left Pennsylvania.
Well, that was a step in the right direction, clearly. Do they have paintings in Pennsylvania?
Jackie.
The mother isn't barely there, but
yeah.
Very... She's great. She's
oh my God. Yeah.
Force. I mean, yeah. One of the things is you clearly see that she's enabled everything. And that's sort of the basis of the whole premise.
Correct.
But I love her introduction of one asks a simple question.
Who taped up the windows?
I did. I saw it on the news.
That tape leaves goo. It goos up the windows.
Goo is what tape is all about. Goo is what makes it tape instead of paper.
A person offers a little constructive criticism and a person gets lectured on the nature of things. I came in to ask something. I can't think what it is. Anthony, did I make up the guest room?
How should I know?
A person asks a civilized question and a person... I'll go up and check.
Whoa.
Oh, God. It's so... I think, you know...
I mean, I feel like this film is adjacent to Grey Gardens, right? Because...
For sure, yeah.
Why everybody loves that is you see the crazy relatives of the Kennedys
who
are allowed to go crazy and live in their own fantasy world because because they're rich.
Yeah, correct. Right,
and
right.
And that's sort of what...
Yeah. And the interesting thing
and
of...
how they're constantly referencing that the Kennedys live next door.
But also...
Also, I want to point out...
Yes.
Sorry. Please. It's just you told me to talk a while ago.
I do want you to talk.
This is set during Thanksgiving 1983, so concurrent with the events of Sebastian Cole.
Just girl.
Up the coast a little bit.
Girl. Girl.
Is it supposed to be Thanksgiving when he's at the grandparents' house?
Maybe.
I don't think it's really stated.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Anyway.
Yeah, well. But. Oh, also how. Yeah, I don't know. There's this movie's so fucking. I identify with movies like this mostly because I really appreciate when there's not. You know, the acknowledgement that, like, if your family has raised you to be an insane person, you don't just stop being crazy. You don't come out of that fine, you know? And you don't just, like, move to a different state and forget all your problems and everything's fine. Like, you still have all of that shit going on, you know? And he, like, in a sense, he's not trying to run away from it. He's just, like, seeing if he can be normal.
Yes.
And that's a... Correct. And that sort of, you know, like, I think that makes the story more compelling that he's like, he's not like, we must never talk about this shameful thing from my family. Like, my family is, and I don't get along. He's just like, yeah, we're all fucking weird and I'm going to get married and be normal because I totally can. Watch me. And they're like, but I don't think you can. And you probably shouldn't because clearly you want to like, still fuck your sister.
Right.
And he's just like, well, yeah, but I don't see why that would keep me from being normal.
Right.
And it's just like, it's such a amazing sort of...
The weakest parts for me are...
Marty.
What's her name? Leslie? Tori Spelling's character?
Yes.
And I can't remember Freddie Prinze's character's name.
Anthony?
Anthony, yes. Thank you.
I only remember because I don't remember what this is from, but there's a character named Anfernee. in something, and I kept wanting to call him Anthony.
I just, anytime I hear that name in a movie, I think of Trust because of Adrian Shelley's football boyfriend. His name Anthony.
Yeah.
And she yells at him in the halls and it reverberates. And
yeah.
Anthony!
I know.
Speaking of getting feelings in the butterflies.
Yeah. Feelings in the butterflies. Yeah. Your chonk.
I wake up every morning. I eat a combination of one raw egg.
God, we got to watch that again. We got to watch that again. It's so good.
Yeah, the interaction between Anthony and Leslie, like her, I don't have a problem with them hooking up.
Yeah,
I can see that happening. But the like, can I just hold your hand?
Yeah.
Can I call you sweetie again? Like that stuff. And she's like, no.
I
don't know.
For sure. No, I, yeah.
But, and then I have mixed feelings. I don't know about basically the last scene or penultimate scene when they're doing the reenactment again.
Yeah.
And when he's like, or it's before that, it's like he's, Leslie sits down with him. He's like, tell me about Sundays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, I have mixed feelings because I understand that this is how it can feel. Like, it's basically like he's like put into a trance by Jackie. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, yes, okay, I'll be him. Yeah, you know, it's almost like hypnotic suggestion almost.
Yeah.
That part feels a little weird to me.
I didn't read it that way. I read it more as like surrender, like not hypnotic suggestion, but like.
Yeah.
That's where he fits in, or that's where he, you know, he, like.
Well, certainly, it's a possibility in his mind that she's actually going to shoot him.
Correct. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's why it's like, yeah.
But I think I take it more as he knows that he's always going to be torn between the two things.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, okay.
Yeah. I think there's just not enough given for me to feel like he's ready to
die.
Yeah. To give up to say like, no, I can't actually escape this.
Right. Yeah.
You know, which I think you could do,
but I think, yeah, I don't necessarily, oh, sorry.
No, I'm just saying like, those were the hardest part about the film for me, which otherwise I love, you know,
like,
I thought it was, it's not enough clearly to derail whole thing for me.
No, I just want to say how I read it, or like the way that it is perceived for me is that is their shared fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So him giving into that is less about him actually being like, I'm ready to die, and more like, I would love, like, cause some people literally fantasize about like this is a thing that's like confusing to me, where like people fantasize and have like severe fantasies about like chopping their dick off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like literally like crude about
metaphorically.
Like, yeah, or like, you know, like using some incorrect language to talk about like, you know, gender affirming surgeries or some shit. Like I'm talking about like literally they fantasize about like their dick falling off of their body and shit. And like those kinds of fantasies are so confusing to me because I'm like, you can't relive it ever.
Right.
You can't redo it. So it's like, I think for him, it's like, that's the problem with that fantasy, is that like a fantasy, like some part of you kind of wants it to really happen, you know, even if you don't consciously. So I think like that's what that's saying, is like their relationship, I think it's like sort of more metaphorical for like their relationship is detrimental, and what they have is not normal, and it's not healthy, and it's not safe.
Correct.
But it's still their fantasy that they share together, and that they want to, you know, be a part of. And like, even like she clearly, cause they're like, she can't live without Marty. She can't do anything without Marty. Like Marty needs to be in her life. Like Marty, blah, blah, blah. If she kills him, then he won't be in her life.
Right.
That's not how she sees it. She sees it as enacting the fantasy to it, you know, like the fantasy coming to its fruition. So I think it's like both of their shared sort of, this is where their psychosis is like shared, where this fantasy is what keeps that sort of relationship going. So like, it's less about him giving in and being like, I'm ready to die, and more like him being like, hell yeah, let's
do it.
Let's do the thing, you know? And like, and it's exciting for him to like do these things that are dangerous. Like, 'cause he knows, like, you know, they do it the night before.
Right.
You know, and like, you know, so he knows then too that he, and she has shot him before.
Right.
You know, so he, you know, it's not something that he is even deterred from. So it's less about, for me, it's less about him being like, I'm ready to die, and more about him.
Yeah, because it's really, never
like owning the fantasy more.
Yeah.
Would you recommend?
Yes, but I have more to say.
Okay, say it more.
I like, there's a couple, well, I don't need to say that. I really like one of Jackie's little monologues.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, this is the lie of sex.
I hear you crying at night alone in your room. I hear her crying at night alone in her room.
You cry at night alone in your room?
Don't make fun of her. I won't let you make fun of her.
I wasn't going to make fun of her. I was going to ask her what she cries about.
What do you think? You want somebody for a very long time. And then you have them. And they love you. And they make love to you. But it's not enough. This is the truth about sex.
Is that why Peter was lousy in bed?
I'm not talking about Peter, Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
But
I think this is part of, structurally folds into what you were just talking about with Marty, is that, like, you know, Anthony and Mom are kind of trying to convince him that, and Jackie to a certain extent, that Jackie is better.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
And he asks, you know, like, how she's doing and so forth. But he doesn't seem to need to be convinced.
Yeah.
Like, he's concerned for her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's not like he's looking for, like, oh, okay, she's.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really part of the equation.
Yeah.
Or not really at play as a dynamic.
Yeah.
Which I think helps, which makes your description make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
he doesn't necessarily want her to be all better. Or
right,
need her to be. Because
yeah, because then that would. Well,
you still got one, you know, like, 1 foot in the.
Correct. Like, there was the, like, the scene where she's talking about how he never came to visit her in the hospital.
Yes.
And he's like, I did, but I saw you crying.
Right. And knew that I was making
it. And knew that I was the one that did that. And so I think it's like, in some ways, he's like, that's why he stopped. He didn't stop because he wanted to. He stopped because he was worried he was hurting her or, like, harming her, which obviously they were harming each other in some weird.
Right.
You know, fucking, what do you call it? Parasitic sort of way, you know, or symbiotic. That's what I mean. Symbiotic.
Parasymbiosis.
Parapsychosymbiosis.
Addict insane.
Thank you. So, you know, it's still the thing of, like, he came back with Leslie, but, like, you're like, did he come back with Leslie to say, like, here, this won't happen anymore because I'm starting a new life? Or did he come back with Leslie to, you know, because he thought his sister was all better and he wanted her to not be all better so that they could, you know, start again. Because at first it seems like he's hesitating to come in. And
Right.
But he's so confrontational. Like, his mom's like, you can't marry Leslie. And he's like, why not? She's like, you know why. And he's like, no, tell me. Why can't I marry her?
Right.
And she's like, you know exactly why. And he's like, no, tell me, you know? And then when Jackie tells Anthony that they've slept together, that Marty and her have slept together, and he's like, no, that's horrible. And Marty's like, why? Like, why are you being weird about it? Like, you know, he's mm-hmm. very much not disassociated from any of that. Like, he hasn't removed himself from any of those things.
Marty, you mean?
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, you're like, then why did you, if you're not bothered by it, if you're fine with it, if you're not ashamed, if you think it's fine and you're literally going to just pick up where you left off, then like, is that why you were hesitating to go inside in the mm-hmm. beginning, as opposed to, oh, I'm afraid my family won't like you. Was he afraid his family wasn't going to like her, or was he actually acknowledging that his family's disdain of her was going to end their relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was like trying to decide if he wanted to give in or not. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, it's like really interesting to, yeah, I don't know. It's just super interesting. And I, you know, again, I really appreciate like any sort of like families aren't normal kind of
yeah.
thing, because I think this idea, especially like the more money you have, like the more normalcy you're afforded, like in reality, it's like the more money you have, the less expectation of normalcy is put on you.
Less accountability. But like,
right. But like in the terms of accountability, like you don't have to, you know, people can lie about right. why you were in the hospital, you know, and you don't have to, you know, like you can afford a lot of things that, you know, you can afford not to work. You can afford, you know, to be crazy, to
you
have
do all day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. I yeah. mean, so, but you would recommend.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I would definitely give caveats of like, you know, there's oh, yes. incest and, yeah, there's incest.
It is a taut, sexy thriller.
It's true. It is. It is.
It's not really a thriller, but.
Yeah. I mean, it was thrilling to watch it. Yeah. Parker Posey is so good though. She's so
Again,
good in this.
Pitch perfect.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So good.
I mean.
Yeah. I know. And that like, this was, I don't know if this was the first thing I ever saw her in, but this mm-hmm. was like one of the first things I ever really saw her in where I knew who Parker, like where I was like, that's Parker Posey. So like, this is why I was like, she's fucking amazing. And I love seeing her and shit because I'm like, she can do things. She can, you know, like you said, she made choices. Like she absolutely made choices.
Yeah. And if I had not seen her in other things before this, I wouldn't necessarily know that.
Yeah. You right. Know what right. I mean? Like, yeah, for sure.
I've always been kind of lukewarm on her.
Yeah.
Partially just because everyone seems to love her.
Yeah.
And she gets lots of accolades.
Right.
And I don't know.
I do feel like she makes choices though. And like, that's something that yeah. I think that I really appreciate in watching her performances, that like, I feel like this is something that I like about Parker Posey, is I feel like she's the kind of person that whatever role she's in, you know, that no one else would play it the way that she did.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's just fascinating. Like, you know, because she doesn't convince you necessarily that like, it's a special thing because, like, some people, like, make you believe that the character's a real person or they make them realistic. Mm-hmm. And she makes them, like, almost unrealistic in how she plays them.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, not in a, I don't know. It's just, it's really.
Yeah, no, I would.
Yeah.
I mean, not to get into, you know, I love to bring up Brex, but.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think, it rides it's that line Borsch. Of, like, you're. The actor does not disappear.
Right. Correct.
The character is believable.
Yes.
But I feel like it's constantly that mm-hmm. you're going back and forth, which right. is.
Like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where it's like, this is not, like, you're not trying to convince me that this character is real. You're trying to convince me that this is a character that you're playing. And but not in a bad way. Like, not, it doesn't take you out of the story. It doesn't take right. you away from what you're doing. It makes you more enthralled in it.
Yes.
Somehow. And I think there's like a decision to play something, you know, like some people are like, I'm going to play this as subtly as possible. And she doesn't do that. She's not like, we're going subtle. She's like,
but it's not unrestrained, you know?
Like, yeah. But like she's,
because you see the levels, like,
right.
First of all, this is the thing that she does so well as a actor in general. Yeah. She brings so much energy.
Yes. Yes.
But it's not, it's contained. It's not
correct. Yes.
And with Jackie, you see that she's kind of constantly at this
yes,
frantic, frenzied level.
Release the beehive. Yeah.
But then, yeah. But then, like, when Leslie gets introduced and she fucking screams, yes. You're like, oh, there is more.
Yeah.
This, she's not a constant 10. That's not a 10 for
sure.
Her.
Yeah. And even the scream isn't a 10. You're like, oh, that's not even.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You can tell she's still like,
yeah.
Got it, some kind of veneer on. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
So impressive. I was going to say something. I don't remember.
I think I've seen her in like enough manic pixie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like Party Girl, like, I think was one that she was in.
Which one?
Party Girl.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah. I don't know if I've
seen that. I mean, a thing that really, I mean, this is more recent, but like put a bad taste in my mouth. She was on Louis.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Playing it. Yeah. It was unclear.
Yeah.
What or
for sure.
It's one. Yeah. So.
But I think like, even in roles, like.
I mean, she's in all those Christopher Guest movies. Right?
True. But she's also, she's in that episode of Parks and Recs where she's just so fucking mean.
Yeah.
But she's so like, good. Thanks. What she's like, cause his name is, oh fuck. Oh shit. Fucking Adam
Scott.
Yeah. What's his name in the show?
Yeah. I can't remember because it's what I want to call him instead of Adam Scott. I want to call him his name.
Is it Chris or something? I don't know. She calls him like Kevin or something. He's like, my name's whatever. And she was like,
that doesn't matter.
She's it won't like,
come up again.
Yeah, she's like, it doesn't matter. It won't come up again. And then it's so, like, the way that she does, like, that shit, it's so funny.
Is it fucking Sling Blade? Is she in Sling Blade?
Oh, I don't remember.
She plays, what is it where she plays, like, she works at an ice cream stand?
That is, Waiting for Guffman?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We gotta watch that one. Oh, fuck, I fuck. When I first saw
Waiting... Fuck.
Yeah, when I first saw Waiting for Guffman, that was the other thing that, like, and she was in that, and...
Was she in, like, Legally Blonde or something? One of those...
No, she was also in Best in Show.
No, I know. I know the Christopher Guest movies.
I don't know. She was in Blade Trinity.
Something more mainstream indie 90s.
Oh. Well, Legally Blonde was an indie.
That's fine. What else was Reese Witherspoon in besides Election?
Oh, man. Freeway, which is one that we have to maybe not.
You want to do Election for the pod at some point?
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. Let's see. What was Parker Posey in the 1990s?
Siri,
tell me what. Siri, call 911 and ask my mom what Parker Posey was in. My favorite joke.
I know.
Okay, hold on.
Also, I mean, like, everyone was...
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was in Superman, too, I think. What? Yeah, she was in
Superman. The one with Richard Pryor?
No, Superman Returns. A Mighty Wind. Oh, God.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
Oh, she's in Josie and the Pussycats.
That's right, with whoever plays the young version of her in this movie. Yes,
yeah. Rachel Lee Cook.
Which I've never seen.
She's in Scream 3.
Oh, yeah.
She plays the person that isn't Courtney Cox.
Right. You seem excited for Scream 6, by the way.
I am excited.
Because the whole thing, the whole thing takes place on a subway.
Yeah. No offense to Neve Campbell, you know.
Oh, what?
Because
she's not in it, finally?
Well, because she was going to be in it, but... they like weren't gonna pay enough. Her. They were paying her shit, so she was said, "Never mind."
Good for her.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, you know, but also I'm like, yeah. But it's got what. Whatever. Anyway, it's got the two sisters from the first, from the Scream
five
or whatever. And I liked them. So one of them is Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
Wednesday's on the phone to Tuesday. Tuesday's on the phone to Tuesday.
Girl. Girl.